insights so we can try to help them. Or they can give us insights and inspire us by what they've done. I love hearing people talk about positive changes to difficult challenges. If you live in the New York area, and again, please, since our show is not able to be heard at the same time in all areas of the country, we're only talking with people in the tri-state New York area at this moment. Our number is 212-209-2900, and we'll go over to the calls. Now, I'm going to skip opening the show with the latest in health and nutrition update information. Let's say hello to our first person online. Hi, what's your name, please?
Hi, Gary. My name's Jay.
Hi, Jay.
I started listening to your show about 4 years ago, and I thought a lot of excellent information. I started buying your books, and I got a tremendous amount of information about nutrition and exercise and healthy lifestyle. Then I joined your Reverse the Aging Process program, got into that, and I found that the regimen was a little bit unrealistic. 6 to 9 green juices a day, the exorbitant amount of supplements, the expense, and the kind of neurotic obsession with supplements didn't seem realistic. It seemed a little bit elitist. It seemed like it was a little bit difficult for the average person to keep up with, versus the fact that your books are filled with some very excellent practical information that average people could keep up with, and that as society we should turn towards. But the idea of taking handfuls of vitamin is really beyond the scope of most people.
Okay, what is your point?
Well, I was hoping, I also enjoy your hidden agendas, and I think they're excellent. I was hoping that maybe you could do a hidden agenda on what's happening down at BAI so that the general public who respect you and admire your research could really be able to confide in somebody on the inside who's who they trust and would
okay,
be honest.
Let me address both of your issues, all right?
Thank you.
First, my protocols can be difficult if a person doesn't wish to look at them as separating from what they're normally doing. There's never been 9 juices. We start with 1 juice. So you got to be honest when you're in this situation, and you weren't. The idea is we start with 1 glass of juice per day, per month. Now, I think that's doable for most people, considering most people have no trouble drinking a cola or a cup of coffee. Most people have no trouble sitting down and eating 34 French fries that are in a bag. So if I were to suggest that those things that they normally eat are not good for them, and I'm suggesting that to a group of people who have decided to come forward to make those changes in their life, then they're agreeing, we're willing to see if we can make these changes, albeit it may be creating discomfort in us. Discomfort? Yes. Because when we want to separate from something that we're used to, that we've gotten so comfortable with, and look, people get comfortable with smoking, people get comfortable with lying, deceit, manipulation, conning. USA Today said in a report, in a survey, that 90+% of the American population lie regularly, and a very high percentage close to that steal. So we're saying that we're primarily a nation of lies and liars and thieves. Well, we know certain groups generally are. And then we ask, well, how can we be honest about what we really need if we can't be honest about other issues in life? And the answer is you can't. It's like saying, well, you could hate blacks, but as long as you don't hate Jews, you're not a racist. No, if you hate, you hate. And if you lie, you lie. So we have to start off with the idea that we've got to get out of this denial that we can be selectively dysfunctional. So therefore, we promote ourselves as being, look at my good side, but don't look at my downside. Well, I want to tell you something. No one ever said, get out of my life. You're just too wonderful, loving, kind, I just love being around you. No, we don't want someone in our life because they betrayed us. They've hurt us. They used us. They offended us to the point where we're no longer willing to tolerate it. But between that intolerance and finally acquiescing and surrendering that attachment may be years. You rarely find that someone has done something they didn't like and just walk away from them. We want to give people another chance, another chance, another chance. And by the time we finally realize that the pluses do not equal the minuses, we've been hurt. And then we feel abused and used. And then we don't trust as easily the next time, which is unfortunate. Now, bring that around to people who come to see me. Most of the people coming in to a health support group have various illnesses that have not responded during traditional therapy. And yet we at no time, as you well know, never talk about disease, ever. We don't diagnose or treat any disease. Instead, we talk about what is necessary to promote wellness. And to promote wellness, you have to surrender that which promotes disease. But that's a trick, because part of us wants to be well, and we think higher thoughts, and we desire health, and yet we act on more primal base level, almost reptilian and limbic, where our primary comforts are in eating cupcakes or golfing down pizzas and knowing there's a consequence to it. We don't do this because we're unconscious. My goodness, we never give ourselves credit for the wrong mistakes we make. We should. It takes as much effort to make a bad mistake as it does to make a good choice. We just don't like the consequences of making a choice that comes back on us. A bank robber goes in to rob a bank. If he gets away with it, I can promise you he's going to brag about it. He's going to feel very good about himself. He'll be adrenaline pump. He'll be pumping the air. I got away with it. You know, I stole this. Now, if he gets caught, he's going to blame abuse in childhood or he was unloved by his father. And Bradshaw and others will come along and say, yes, you were unloved. It was your parents. Nonsense. Has nothing to do with that. Has to do with our choices. If you're an adult, you have a choice you can make as an adult. If you don't want to be responsible for those choices, then you blame everyone else. So now we're into the blame game. Oh, it's not my fault I'm sick. It's everyone else's or someone else's. So one of the very first things people learn when they come into a health support group is be responsible for the choices you make. Ah, easier said than done. Because that means we must first identify how we got those choices, how long we've used them, and when we use them. What are the tools we keep going back to over and over again? And if we don't identify our original connections and how they cause us to react, we'll keep doing it. Even we know when we're doing it, it's wrong. How many times have people left the health support room, gone out and got a hamburger? And yet they were at the support group because part of them wants to change. If you want to get in shape to do the marathon, and for 23 years, the Natural Living Running and Walking Club has trained over 20,000 people to do the New York City Marathon, they got to give up something to do it. You can't play games and say, well, I want to run the marathon. I'd love to get a medal around my neck when I finish. I'd love to have 5 million people cheer me on. I'd love to feel what it's like to be out there with that energy, but I'm not going to train for it. Also, what do you say to all the people who did the marathon and loved it? You didn't do it, and you condemn it, which is right. You said the world is flat and too difficult to get around, and others have navigated it. Who is right? What's right? Probably 40% of people who come to any therapeutic model, any transformational model, any self-empowerment model, any self-actualization model, stop and quit. Before you blame the program, take a look at all the people who have completed it. We've had, for your information, more than 10,000 people successfully complete these protocols. And I see them every day. And once a month, I meet with groups of them. And the changes are nothing less than phenomenal. Let me give the example of one woman. Her name is Pat. Pat appeared on this radio program 2 months ago. We filmed her 2 weeks ago here in New York. She lives in Los Angeles. Pat was given a death sentence. She had less than 3 months to live with advanced emphysema. It had been progressing downhill for 12 years. She was in a wheelchair. She was on oxygen. She had round-the-clock nursing care. She had been a smoker, heavy smoker. Even with emphysema, she didn't stop smoking. And she drank the coffee, she ate the sugar, and she was on 17 different medications that time. She was almost 300 pounds. And she had fibromyalgia so painful that she could not move at all. Any movement whatsoever would send her into excruciating pain. So she couldn't sleep. And she also had sleep apnea. And where she'd stop breathing and wake herself up. And so she was completely exhausted. She had very high cholesterol, congestive heart failure, and crippling arthritis. And she was depressed. One of her friends named Tom, who was a mechanic for over 30 years, was going to have to retire because Tom's hands had become very arthritic and he was not able to hold his tools. And after 3 or 4 weeks of seeing it progressively get worse, he met with the owner of the shop where he worked. It was an auto shop, and told him that he was just going to have to quit. And he was conscientious. He didn't want to do work he couldn't really do. He came to the health support group in Los Angeles. I only met with him about once every 3 months because I couldn't get out there more frequently. And Tom was given a protocol. Again, one juice per day, per week, any juice he chose. Plus, he had to give up stuff up. He had to give up his French fries and his white bread and his meat and his milk and his sugar and his artificial sweeteners, caffeine. And he had to cleanse and detoxify, and he was told it would take about a year and a half to go through this process. Within 2 months, Tom had completely reversed his arthritis. No more pain, and he was getting his mobility back. He returned to work. He also went over to visit Pat, who was a longtime friend of his for many years. And instead of going to do what he called a death watch, he went to try to motivate her to come to a health support group meeting. Finally, since she had nothing else to lose, and she was only looking at another month or so until she died, she came. And when I came into the meeting that night, there were about, I'm going to guess, to me, 500 people in the room, and I went up to the front. I saw her because she took up a whole lot of space. She had this big wheelchair, and she had this oxygen thing around her, and there were some nurses there with her. And the oxygen was one of these... And people around her couldn't hear the talk, and we moved the people closer, and I did my talk, and then afterwards I went over and I sat with her, and I asked her what she was there for, and she looked at me and she said, well, she said, you know, and it took her about 3 minutes to say this. She said, my friend Tom has been following these protocols, and he got help, and I thought maybe there might be something you could eliminate some of this pain. Yeah. I've got this irreversible condition. I've been given a death sentence, and I don't care about dying. I'm not afraid of dying. I just am so miserable. I haven't even been able to sleep one night in years. And she had these humongous circles around her eyes that went clear down below her cheeks, big red-brown circles. And so I said, well, are you willing to give some things up? And what was of interest is I told her what she'd have to give up, and she didn't think she could. Like you, too hard. But she called me, and Tom spoke with me and says she's now willing to give it up. She did. I suggested a protocol, specific, and that was it. Didn't hear from her anymore. Until she showed up on this radio show. I was doing a KPFK, my six-hour Roy of Hollywood show. She called in. She's, Gary, this is Pat. I didn't know who she was, and I said, Pat. And she said, yes, Gary. It was a year and 2 months ago that I was given a death sentence, and I should have been dead a year and 2 months ago, from advanced emphysema. I followed this protocol exactly, and we just came back from the doctor today, and my doctor for 20 years is flabbergasted. I have no emphysema, no arthritis, no elevated blood pressure, no elevated cholesterol, no fibromyalgia, no depression, no medicines. I'm totally well, and I'm walking 3 miles. She said, can you train me to do the New York City Marathon? And by the way, I'm 80 years old. 80. I said, yes. You want to do the New York City Marathon? I'll do it with you. So now she came into New York, and she's training for the New York City Marathon, and she brought all of her medical records, and we asked for independent physicians, specialists in their area, to review her 100 medical records and interview her original doctors and re-examine her and take her through the tests. And she came in, spent 3 days doing a battery of tests, and they determined that she did indeed have all these conditions. The medical records, blood workups, histology, x-rays were all correct, but now she does not. She's alive and well. Here's the point. If I accepted your argument, I would never put together a protogam, and Pat would be dead. A lot of other people would have been dead. Harry Beale would have been dead. Many, many, many thousands of people would have been dead, and hundreds of thousands suffering. What if I accepted you as being legitimate in your argument? It's too hard, Gary. Tons of vitamins and so much juices, and nobody can do this, and it's, you know, it's impossible. You're right. You're absolutely right. You can't do it. But they're right. They could do it and did. Now, here's the question. You both get rewarded. They got rewarded by having new lives, save lives, improve lives. You got rewarded. Cynicism, bitterness, anger. Which is the more significant reward? If we stopped every time someone complained, whined, blamed, moaned, groaned because something wasn't going the way they wanted it to, where would we be in any effort? Would we have banned DDT? No. Would we have been protesting electroconvulsive therapy for those people like Paul Henry Thomas who's receiving it against his will? No. Would we have fought for civil rights? Certainly not. Women's rights? Absolutely not. Human rights? Why bother? Too many things to do. Too much. Can't get it done. Oh, you mean you can translate too many juices and too many vitamins, all healing, all powerful, to too many social issues, so why bother? Except BAI. Well, that's how it frequently works. Instead of projecting blame out, why don't you do a little introspective work in? For example, why not talk with the people who finished and succeeded and who grew their hair, reversed their aging, including Dolly and Ed Finkelstein, a couple. He was supposed to have had surgery to save his life. She was supposed to have been on antibiotic therapy for a year to a year and a half for Bell's palsy. He had a 95% carotid artery blockage. His artery de-blocked. Her Bell's palsy was gone in 9 days. She teaches nursing. Her daughter's a physician. Son-in-law's a physician. He's an engineer. Ed and Dolly Finkelstein this year won Outstanding Track and Field of the Year. He is 80. She is 70. She's won it the last 4 years. They had to get new friends. Their old friends had nothing to talk about except death, dying, and disease. Now they have younger friends. Do we count them? Or do we dismiss it? Do we say it's worth breaking through barriers of prejudice and limitation and weakness, indifference and lack of discipline? Or do we say that an integrated lifestyle can prevent the very conditions that we're talking about? So I'm used to people saying that the program is too hard instead of saying, maybe my mindset is what's hard. And the rigidity is my temperament of not being willing to sacrifice things I've gotten used to. Oh, and about those vitamins, check carefully. Because the only supplements I recommend people take are those that are known to enhance the immune system, that are known to be deficient in people, and to protect people. And in fact, I believe, if you were around, that you would have heard numerous lectures on biooxidative damage, how we age the cells prematurely, and that the very things you say people can't take because they're too difficult, but they have no trouble. See, it's kind of interesting. Taking vitamin C four times a day is just an impossibility, Gary. Nobody can do it. It's too hard. It's too complex. It's too confusing. It's too healthy. We're bitter, cynical, anarchist. We like our disease process. Don't confuse us. Though we want to be healthy, we're not going to do it. All right? It's a choice. Now, you get something from the junk food. You get disease. What do we gain from disease? Even the process of diseasing, we gain something from it. If we didn't gain something, we wouldn't do it. There again is the rub. We never like to look at what we gain from our choices if the choice ends up giving us something that in the end works against us. I don't know anyone who's taking vitamin C who complains about a reduction in bioxidative stress, the fact that they're trapping free radicals that otherwise would age their skin, create lesions in their arteries, precipitate cancer, and enlarge their prostate. Vitamin C can help with all those. Reduces viral load, reduces bacteria, enhances collagen synthesis. So if I ask someone to take it four times a day, there's a reason. If I ask people to eat grains and beans, and you haven't eaten grains and beans, you've eaten French fries and hamburgers, I understand that there is a process of accepting, and as you heard me say in the class, some people can make a cold turkey change, and others, it has to be gradual. And I benefit only to the degree that I can see that what works for me may also help other people. So if I see that people can make a gradual change, and I give them that option, if you want to get rid of sugar this week, meat next week, yeast next week, artificial preservatives the week after, you could take a year to make your changes. I would consider that valid. Or some people say, hey, I can let it go all at once. That's also valid. Both are valid. That's what's nice. You can individually construct a program around your own personal temperament. And the results show. But no matter who does what, it's going to take a year and a half just to get yourself started. It's a lifetime process. One day you wake up and realize, gee whiz, it's no hassle making a watermelon juice. And it's no hassle having an herbal tea instead of coffee. And it's no hassle having a healthy snack instead of junk snack. It's no hassle thinking of a positive thought instead of a negative thought. And it's no hassle being kind instead of crude and rude. And it's no hassle being thoughtful instead of selfish. And it's no hassle being honest instead of vulgar and deceptive. But we have to at least recognize what pattern of behavior we've been living with. We've gained so much from it. You know, sometimes we spend so much time in the trenches, we forget that there's a place where there's no war, no fighting, no conflict. And we should take a break from this effort. If we become burned out spiritually and emotionally in the process. And that's what I try to help people with, getting that place where they can give themselves time to heal and time to resolve the ego and time to resolve and let go of all the conditioning. And people resist. Almost everybody resists change. That's not unique. But instead of cursing the people who have made the change, why not show them some respect? Why not say, hey, 80-year-old woman who had smoked and drank and ate junk foods, was angry and bitter at the world, good for you for change. Because now that's an 80-year-old woman who's going to be talking the talk because she walks the walk. She can act as a model for people who are no longer feeling that they can change anything in their life. If she did it from those circumstances, It gives encouragement to others. Why are we so always preoccupied by putting down anything good? Because we're not willing to face the goodness in ourselves that we have yet to touch. Everybody has good. Everybody has something special. Everybody has unique gifts. We just don't always access them. So try to think about what it means to all the thousands of people who have made constructive and positive changes by doing the very thing that you said was impossible. That's the first issue. The second issue, and I have only about 2 minutes to address it, but I will. When the crisis occurred at WBAI, the very first call that I made, and I was out of town, was to the coalition to support a review of this, lending my support. I called Valerie Van Isler. You can call her and ask her. And said, Valerie, anything I can do, I will certainly do. And I did. And I have stayed neutral, not taking sides, until I had all the facts. That's the way I've always done everything in my life. I like to look for facts because I can remember the McMartin case. In fact, I was only one of one or two journalists in the United States that didn't have him condemned before the jury. Every single reporter, Daily News, Post, everybody had trashed them to pieces for being child molesters. There was only one problem. They weren't. They were acquitted. They were found innocent of all charges. Nobody apologized. What does that tell you about the integrity of people who are wrong and can't acknowledge it? So I didn't want to be a part of any mob, no matter how self-righteous, no matter how it may seem truth is only on one side and everyone else was evil and the evil empires on one side and all the Joan of Arcs and martyrs are on the other side. I've seen that play too many times in my life. Remember, I've been in all the movements and I've been at BAI and seen far worse crisis than you could ever imagine. So I just started doing an investigation. Ask individuals that I have interviewed. I spent 4.5 hours doing an in-depth interview with Bessie Walsh on Friday because I wanted to get her points of view and documentation, or lack of, and then hold it up to the same acid test. I have done so many interviews and look for the truth without taking sides. Now, if you've heard my pathologizing of African Americans, my AIDS documentaries, my toxic teeth, either just the ones I've done just in the last 4 months, you know that these are comprehensive, scholarly. They're cited and they're put up on and they're referenced because they withstand the acid test of being unchallengeable on being torn apart. I take my time, and when I'm finally finished, I present the evidence. I'm doing the same thing here, and I believe in the element of fairness that you must not assume anyone is guilty until it's been proven. The very thing you wouldn't want someone to do to you, you could be doing to others. I have seen so many lies and distortions, misinformation presented, and I will not become a part of any sides. I'm staying on the side of the station. I'm here for one reason. I'm here to support WBAI, its listeners, in presenting the information that I can, which serves an underserved element. Truth in health is an underserved element based upon how the mass media has manipulated us into distorting it. We have been a minority. We have been a minority that's been maligned, those of us seeking health and truth in health, and whether it's women's health or African Americans' health or any of the health issues, senior citizens' health, that's what we do. That honors the original mission statement of this station. That's why I'm here for 24 years, and I've never accepted one penny from the station. I do it because I choose to do it. So needless to say, with a background in award-winning investigative reporting, I'm going to look at facts. No matter how passionately a person makes their argument, in the end I'm going to say, where's your proof? And then I'm going to look for it. I'm also going to look for motive. You know what we forget? Sometimes the people that yell the loudest and scream the most and condemn the most are sometimes hiding things. And you better make sure you know, that you have not stumbled inadvertently across something that is could expose people who are just rebelling, so I'm not allowing myself to be used. And there's been so much misinformation and hatred and anger and negativity, and it does no good. It does not help anyone. Now, when my investigation is complete, I will present it. I'll do a broadcast. I'll put it up on my webpage. I'll use all my citations. I'll use all the references. And then you can make of it what you will. But it'll be done not because I'm trying to protect or to destroy anyone. It'll be completely based upon the facts. I can merely tell you this at this time. Much of what you have been led to believe is simply inaccurate. More than that, I will not tell you. I'll let all the facts come out, and then you can make up your own choice. But I also suggest, hey, there's nothing to prevent you from doing your homework as I've done mine. I didn't get a degree, a graduate degree in journalism, investigative reporting, consumer activism. No, these are things I just chose to try to look at. You could do the same. And until that time, let's try to keep ourselves neutral. How would you like to be condemned by a jury before you've had a chance to present your information? You'd say, that's rotten. That's not good. That's not spiritual. That's not ethical. Of course it's not. Why should we hold any less standards? Just because someone says something, we should automatically believe them without checking any motives on either side? I wish you understood how many hundreds of hours I put into this investigation. I'm not a part of anyone's mob. I won't be. I'm not a part of anyone's hate campaign. I won't be. I'm not a part of anyone's vilification of innocent individuals. I refuse to participate. And you know what? When my report comes out, I doubt that there'll be a single person who'll be willing to admit their position was wrong. Just like with McMartin's. Just like with the Vietnam War, just like with Gulf, with so many things we've done, the people who caused it never apologize, no matter what. I don't expect suddenly human nature to turn. I'm Gary Knoll. We're going to come back in a moment and take some calls from people who've actually made changes and have something other than their anger to share with us and who've actually had their fiber today and wouldn't be so angry if they had 20 grams of fiber.